All right, let me ask you to turn, please, to the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. Jesus in John's Gospel, the 8th chapter, said that if we continued in His Word, then we would be His disciples, we would know the truth, and the truth would make us free. I believe there's only one way for us to be free in the Lord, that is by hearing and doing His Word. I perceive that very often we receive the Word of the Lord and don't really understand what it's doing in our lives, but it does effect a change in us. Oftentimes in the church, you come into the church service and you'll sit and you'll listen to the word proclaimed and you're not sure that you really understand everything that I said or someone else said. You may be watching a television program or you may be sitting in another church and listening to a man minister the word, and when he's all finished, you can't really get a hold of perhaps everything he said, and you're not sure that you have complete comprehension and understanding of what went forth. But if it was the word of God, you have this assurance, and that is that it went into your spirit. You see, there's no such limitation in your spirit. Your spirit is renewed in Christ Jesus, and it's a powerful part of your being. That is the eternal part of you, and there's no limitation in your spirit. When the Word of God goes in your spirit man understands it. You may not be able to express it in your understanding, but your spirit comprehends. Now, what benefit is it if you don't understand it with your mind and you could not explain it or express it to somebody else? The benefit is this. Proverbs chapter 4 and 23 says these words, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." What's the heart? The spirit, the inner man. "Keep your inner man, your spirit, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You see, the issues of life flow out of your spirit man, not out of your mind. And if you receive the word of God into your spirit, it will change the way you think. It'll change the way you act. It'll change the way you react, even though you may not understand it with your natural mind. Do you comprehend what I'm saying? The Word of God is profitable for you, even if you're not sure that you could explain to somebody else what you've heard. And so, receive God's Word. Be open-hearted to the Word of the Lord and allow it to come into you as the Word of God comes in. It builds you up. It strengthens you. It makes you more in the image of Christ, and it causes you to look, act, think, and talk like Him. Now that's important for you. That's important, even though you don't comprehend it completely. Tonight I believe you're going to comprehend this. I don't think there's anything too complicated about what we're going to share, but this particular passage of Scripture and others that I'm going to share, I believe will set some of you free. One of the things that the devil loves to do is to bring the Christian under condemnation. Condemnation is the one of the most effective thieves. Thieves or thieves? Thieves. Excuse me, thieves. And a teacher in the congregation tonight too. Thieves. Condemnation is one of the most effective thieves to rob us of the joy and the liberty and the inheritance that God has provided for us in Christ Jesus. Fear and doubt, I believe, are the other two. And they are the dastardly trio, if you will, the three musketeers of the devil. Now, in Acts, the 20th chapter, there's a story here of the Apostle Paul seeing the elders at Ephesus for the last time. And as part of his discourse, he gives them instruction as to what they are to do after his absence. And then he declares himself. And this is the portion that I want us to see tonight. We'll read the entire passage and then go back and highlight three or four verses particularly. Beginning in the 25th verse. "And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. We have a command from our God that we are to be ministers of his truth, we are to be servants in the kingdom of God, and we are to minister not only to one another within the local body, but we are to reach outside this body and we are to share these glorious truths that we know with other people. I want you to know this, if you are faithful to do what God has called you to do in your place in the kingdom of God, I want you to be assured that everybody that you minister to will not receive your ministry. I want you to know that there are some people that if you pray for them for 5 years, they still won't receive your ministry. At the end of 5 years, you'll still be agonizing in prayer on their behalf. I didn't say they never would. What I'm saying is that there are those who will reject your ministry, who will never come to Christ, in at least in your view, seeing, you'll not have the opportunity to see it. And it will seem as if what you're doing is useless and fruitless. Now, when that happens to you, the devil is always right behind you to tell you what an ineffective, no good, miserable nothing in the kingdom of God you are. How many of you have had that experience? Where you have felt condemned because your ministry was without effect. You shared the love of Jesus Christ with a person at your office. You told them your testimony. You shared with them the wonderful thing that God had done in your life and how he'd produced in you joy and forgiveness and peace, and that there was power and victory in your life. Perhaps even you've had physical healings and you've shared that portion of your testimony. You've shared how God has met financial needs for you. You've shared how Jesus is everything you need. And still that person is living in sin. Still that person is doing wickedness. Still that person is spurning the Christ whom you love. Worse yet, it might be somebody in your own family. A close relative, a father, a mother, a sister, a brother. And you have shared your heart. You have given your heart to that person. And still, there's no response. There's no sign that they're at all interested in what you're, yes, that's all right for you, but just don't bug me with that stuff. Don't bug me with that church stuff. Just don't bug me with that religion stuff. You may have somebody in your family that you have, because of financial needs in that, perhaps that brother's life or his family, you have deprived your own family in order to give to him that his needs would be met, and still he rejects the word that you want him to have. You have a mother that you love deeply, deeply, deeply. You've shared until you're blue in the face. You've talked until you couldn't talk anymore. You have bit your tongue until it's bloody, not talking, hoping that that would work. You've done everything you know. And still that person shows no sign that anything you've done has had any impact at all. And right behind the realization that what is happening in your situation is that nothing is happening, right behind that comes the devil, and he tells you that you're an ineffective minister for Christ, that you're a terrible witness, that you're a slothful and a stupid son or daughter of the Most High God, and that nothing that you do is of any value in the kingdom of God. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible feeling, and it is untrue, and it is meant to destroy your service. It is meant to get you to stop believing God for His promises. Now, Paul was not troubled with that. And this passage of Scripture, along with some others that we're going to share in the time that we have available to us tonight, gives us the secret. And I'm going to share it with you tonight. Paul said, look with me at the 26th verse. Paul said this, wherefore I take you to record this day. In other words, I take you to witness this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. I am pure from the blood of all men. How could he say that? Every town he went to, they ran him out on a rail. One town, they took him outside the town and stoned him and left him for dead. The Jews striped his back how many times? 40 less one. Shipwrecked. I was reading over in the book of Acts where Paul had gone through Iconium. And then Thessalonica. And when he got to Thessalonica, the people despised him so that they drove him out of town. He went to the next town, I believe it was Derbe, and they were so unhappy in Thessalonica, they chased him down in Derbe. Over in Derbe, they were listening to his message, but over in Thessalonica, the Jews heard that Paul was having some success over there, and they followed him into Derbe and chased him out of that town. He was not a man who could say, everybody that I have tried to reach for Christ has received. He was not a man that could say, my ministry has borne fruit in every life that it's touched. But he could say, at the end of his ministry, I am pure from the blood of all men. How could he say that? On what basis could he say, I am pure? No man's blood is on my hands. No man is going to suffer eternal death because of me. No man is going to lose his reward because of me. No man is going to stay sick because of me. No man is going to stay bound by the devil because of me. No man is going to be without the empowering of the Holy Ghost because of me. He said, I'm pure of the blood of all men. How could he say that? The very next verse gives us the answer. For, or because, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He said, I'm pure from your blood because I have told you the truth. Everything God showed me, I showed you. Now we know that everybody didn't receive it. But Paul saying in this passage, that is not my problem. That is not my responsibility. Every man has his own individual responsibility before God. I want you to know that if I tell you tonight the gospel, if I tell you that you're a sinner according to the word of God and that you need to be saved, and I tell you how to get saved, and you walk out of here and don't get saved, your blood is not on my hands. That's what Paul said. He said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole gospel of God. When I had opportunity, Mom, I spoke to you the word of the Lord. I gave you everything I knew. Fellow worker in my office, I did everything I know to do. I shared with you the gospel of God. Even at the risk of offending you, I told you about tongues. What? I told you about healing. I told you that your little baby could be healed by the power of God because Jesus Christ bore our infirmities and took our sicknesses. I told you that. Yet the baby died. Paul said, I'm pure from the death of that baby. Paul said, I'm pure from the blood of all men because I've not hesitated one time to declare unto you the whole gospel of God, and what you do with it is your responsibility. It is up to you. My responsibility is to tell you the truth. Your responsibility is to receive it and act upon it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so there should be no condemnation, as there was none on Paul, so there should be none on the believer who is faithful to declare the truth. Look at verse 31. Paul said, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years," he says, I was faithful to keep plowing the ground. 3 years I did it. I ceased not to warn, and this word warn means to remind or put a person in remembrance or in mind. Paul said, for 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I was serious about what I was doing. I recognized the importance of this message. And I've declared it to every man. Therefore, I have liberty in my spirit. There's no blood on my hands. I've been faithful. And even though some people do not receive it, I am not condemned. I do not allow that to steal my liberty. I do not allow that to steal my joy. I do not allow the devil to criticize me and to condemn me and to put me down because some people did not receive the word that I shared. I have not hesitated and not shunned to preach unto you the whole gospel. And in verse 32, Paul gives us a key. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God." I commend you to God. I release you to God. I commit you to God. I commend you to God. There isn't anything else I can do. I have shared the gospel. I have preached the word. I've done it nonstop, day and night for 3 years. I've interceded for you with crying. I've preached the word of God with tears. I've warned and reminded and everything else I know how to do. And now I will release you and let you go to God. Now listen to me carefully, those of you that are in this kind of situation. I commit you to God and to the word of His grace. I release you to God. I'm not going to struggle with this anymore. I'm not going to be condemned because you're not saved. I'm not going to be condemned because you're not healed. I'm not going to be condemned because you're still a smoker. I'm not going to be condemned because you're still doing this and you still need deliverance from that. I'm not going to be condemned because you're still fearful. I'm not going to be condemned because you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be condemned about any of those things. I've spoken the word to you, and now I commit you to God. I release you to God. I'm going about doing what God's called me to do, and what you do with the word I've given you is entirely up to you. It's between you and God. I release you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I'm satisfied that the word I've already spoken to you is effectual in working on the inside of you and will build you up and will bring you the inheritance that I have been praying for and believing for all this time. But I commit you unto the Lord. I refuse to be condemned. I refuse to allow your lack of receiving or your unwillingness to receive to bring upon me a spirit of condemnation and heaviness so that I won't tell him. And that's in effect what happens. You see, you minister, I minister to this sister right here, let's say, and this is not the case. She's a receiver. But let's suppose I minister to her and I can't seem to get her to receive what it is she needs. And I struggle with her and I wrestle with her and I pray with her and intercede with her. You know how, I mean, you just go until you just can't go anymore. And nothing happens. And then this sister comes in. Or I see this sister with a, I'm sorry, sister, I can't help you. Because my failure, you see, what I said, my failure with this sister affects my ability to work with this one. That's exactly what the devil wants. That's exactly what your enemy wants. He wants to bring you under condemnation, and he wants to make you feel responsible for what someone else does. He wants to make you carry the burden, carry the responsibility for whether another person receives or not, and you can't do it. Jesus said about the Pharisees, he said, they bind heavy burdens upon the people, and then they won't help them carry them. That's exactly what the devil does. He binds heavy burdens, and then he won't help you carry it. I want you to know that when you pray for somebody to receive their healing, how many of you have prayed for people to be healed? I mean, laid hands on physically. You have ministered one-to-one with a person, laid your hands on a person, and prayed for them to receive healing. Okay, now lower your hands. How many of you have had everyone be healed? Right at the moment there, every person got healed. How many are continuing to pray for the sick? I hope the same number of hands and more. Do you see the point I'm trying to make? Now, what happened when the person you prayed for, you're believing with all your heart, and that person didn't get healed? The attack that comes upon the believer at a time like that is a powerful thing, and it will render you ineffective for God unless you understand what I'm trying to explain to you tonight. There is individual responsibility within and without the kingdom of God. God Almighty holds every person, man, woman, boy, and girl, individually responsible for his response to the word of God that is declared. Paul said, I commend you to God. Now, this is the formula. Paul said, my hands are clean from the blood of all men. I didn't wash them like Pilate did. But he said, they're clean because I have not hesitated to give you the truth. I've told you the truth. For 3 years I did. Day and night. If you'd listen, I'd tell you. That's what he said. But now, I'm going to release you to God. I'm going on to Jerusalem. I can no longer hold you by the hand. I can't believe for you anymore. I can't do anything else for you. I'm going to release you to God. I'm going to commit you to him and to the word that I have shared with you. And I know that God is able through his word to build you up and to bring you to a place of inheritance, but it's now between you and him. Now, there are some that would say, well, that's just a cop-out. You're not taking any responsibility for whether a person responds to the gospel. That's exactly right. I'm not. But it's not a cop-out. It's God's way. It's the principle that God Almighty has established. Did you know that not everybody received Jesus' message? You know that when God himself came here in the flesh and he preached the word of the Lord, that not everybody received his message? So few did that they hung him on a cross, took his life. And if we were to judge the ministry of Christ by the results that he showed at the time he died, we would judge him a failure. But we do not judge him by the results he showed when he died. We judge him by his faithfulness to do what his Father asked him to do. He said, everything I do pleases my Father. In John 17, he said, I've done everything you've told me to do, Father, and now I'm ready to come home. And he went home. And he committed the human race to the word of God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build us up and to give us the inheritance which belongs to us. And that's what you see today. You see it here and you see it in churches where believers are all over the world. Because Jesus Christ was willing to commend it to God, commit it to God, release it to God, and not receive a woe is me down in the mouth condemnation because he didn't accomplish the purpose that God had sent him for. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, the second chapter. Ezekiel's ministry is a significant one according to the calling that God had on his life, and it bears on this principle that I'm establishing tonight. You see, what the devil does, beloved, is he takes the compassion that we feel inside as Christians for other people. We feel a deep love and compassion for other people. And he takes that thing, and if we do not know God's principles and God's ways, he takes that and he turns it around as a knife and slices us apart with it. He makes us feel guilty. That is one of the most effective weapons that Satan has against a Christian, and that is guilt and condemnation. He makes you feel like you're not doing right. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, this is Ezekiel's calling. Now, watch this carefully. We're going to read a couple of larger portions here, but I think it's helpful for us to establish the principle. and get it firmly in our hearts. And he said unto me, Son of man, this is Ezekiel giving his testimony about God speaking to him. Stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Now God said, I'm going to speak my words to you, and you're going to go say to them, Thus saith the Lord, and it makes no difference whether they hear or whether they forbear. To forbear means to reject and to refuse. God said, your mission does not depend upon whether they receive. Your mission depends on what you do and what you say. And whether they receive it or don't receive it is of no concern to you. Your only mission is to speak, Thus saith the Lord. The rest of it's between me and them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. In other words, don't you be like them. You obey me and let me put my word in you and speak my word. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there were written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. In other words, take my word into your being, and then it'll be there when you need to speak. And so I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels, thy innards, with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. And that's the way it is with us. We're not sent to East Africa. We're not sent to the Orient. We're not sent to South America, but we're sent to our neighborhoods. And we're sent to our families. And we're sent to the people who are like us. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. So if I'd have sent you to Africa, you'd have had tremendous revival. And when you announce a service in Africa, there'd be 3,000 people show up for preaching the word. And when you issued an invitation, there'd be 1,800 of them come to the altar and receive Christ. See? He said, that's not the ministry I've called you to. I've called you to share in your own house. I've called you to share in your own village. I've called you to share with the people that you know. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto me, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. I don't know about you, but that's something that attacks me when I'm sharing with someone and the person look at you, kind of, you just know that they're not receiving what you're telling them. You just know that inside they're just angry at you, you know, and they're going to take offense at you and maybe going to pop you along the way there. And the Lord says, don't you even be dismayed at their looks. You don't pay attention to what they're looking like. You pay no attention to what their appearance is. You be faithful and obedient to do what I told you to do. Speak my word. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go. Get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God. whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Doesn't make any difference. Now turn with me to Ezekiel 33, which is probably a familiar passage of Scripture. It's the watchman Scripture, where God is reminding Ezekiel of his calling as a watchman. And I believe this typifies the calling of every Christian, that we've been called a watchman. We've been called to issue a word of warning to sinful men. We've been called to declare the word of God to the world. And this is what God said to Ezekiel, beginning in the first verse. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He that heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Now this is why Paul could say, I am pure from the blood of all men, because I have acted the role of the watchman. I have been faithful in fulfilling the role of the watchman, and I have declared to you that the sword is coming. I have declared to you that the wages of sin is death. I have declared unto you the good news that Jesus died to pay the price for our sin, that Jesus died that we might be saved, and he rose again. I've declared to you that God sent His Spirit to dwell within us. I've declared to you that Jesus Christ bore our sicknesses and our infirmities, that we not be sick. I declared to you that God had made Jesus Christ poor so that we might be made rich, that God wants to meet our physical and our financial needs as well as our spiritual and our emotional needs. What God's speaking to Ezekiel here is simply this. Ezekiel, if you know that there's danger coming, and you refuse to sound the warning, the people are going to die, but I'm going to hold you accountable for their death. But if you sound the warning, I do not require you to go out and grab them physically and forcibly and throw them into some sort of a secure place. All I require you to do is to sound the alarm. If they won't listen to what you say, when death comes, they're going to die. But there'll be no blood on your hands. I'm going to tell you somebody else whose hands were free from the blood of all men. Noah. Noah for 120 years preached. There's a disaster coming. I've built this grand ark. God told me how to build it. It was the dumbest thing that those people had ever heard, because it had never rained before. And when Noah began to preach about the flood, they couldn't believe it. I want you to know, you've never seen either what's coming upon this earth. But it's coming in as sure as the flood came. God will bring judgment upon this earth. And He has established believers, all of us, as watchmen, to sound the alarm, to sound the warning. But beloved, if people will not listen to what you say, you have no further responsibility. Let me say that again. If they will not listen to what you say, you have no further responsibility. Now, you may be believing God for your husband, your wife, your child, your mother, father, sister, brother. You may have no more responsibility, but you sure don't want to let go. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not telling you to let go. What I'm telling you is not to let the devil put condemnation upon you in terms of an ineffective ministry or an ineffective witness. Every man has his own responsibility before God. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, that we must all appear, verse number 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Every man individually is going to have to stand before God Almighty. I'm going to stand there, and you're going to stand there. I'm going to stand there and give account whether I declared the truth, whether I shared the Word of God. But I am not going to have to give answer for whether you received it. I don't know about you, but I can tell you as a pastor, it's not that I don't want everybody to receive. But as a human being, there is no way possible that I could carry the weight of responsibility for people receiving or not receiving the Word of God or the blessings of God. To carry the responsibility for one other person is too big a load. And nobody can bear that. I can't bear it, and you can't bear it, and God doesn't intend for us to bear it. He's called us to sound the alarm. He's called us to speak the truth. I'm going to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he died so that you might be forgiven and have a brand new life. If you get up and walk out of here tonight and don't receive that, and I know it, I may cry for you. So, for sorrow in my heart, but I will not take any condemnation because I know that I've done what I'm supposed to do. I declare unto you tonight that if you're a Christian, that God wants to fill you to overflowing with His presence. I declare to you that God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit until you overflow in a heavenly language. And I declare to you that that promise is to everybody that God has called to be part of His family. And I'll be extremely disappointed if there's anybody here tonight who hears that and leaves here without receiving that wonderful gift from God. I'll be very disappointed. But I want you to know I'm not going to go out and commit Harry Carey over it. I tell you tonight that Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary bore your sicknesses and your infirmities, your weaknesses, your pains. He bore your emotional griefs. The chastisement of your peace was upon Him. And God made provision for your healing in every area of your life, physically and emotionally as well as spiritually. That's the word of the Lord. And I'll be very disappointed if anybody who is here tonight leaves without receiving that truth and the benefit of it. But I'm not going to go back in the kitchen here and knock my head up against the concrete wall over it. Because that's not going to do you any good. I will commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. It's a terrible thing to see a Christian filled with God's love and filled with God's compassion and having a sincere desire to help another person and to have that help or that compassion spurned. And then to have the devil come right behind and bring condemnation upon that beautiful creature known as a Christian because the person didn't get healed, didn't get delivered, didn't get saved, didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost. Still walking around with a black cloud over them, whatever it is. It's an awful thing. God wants you to know tonight that that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to declare the word that God has given you, to share the word, to minister in whatever way that God has given you capacity to do so. Whether that person receives or doesn't receive is entirely up to you. I used to have great condemnation personally in praying for people in personal ministry when someone didn't receive. And I can't describe for you, I won't have to describe if you've experienced it yourself. But when you know in your heart, I mean when you know that Jesus Christ died, that his body was broken, that his blood was spilt, that people might go free. When you know that in your heart, when you've experienced it in your own life, when you've seen it be received and experienced by others, when you know that God's love is reaching out through you to another human being, when you know that, and the person leaves your presence in the same condition in which they come, it's an awful thing if you don't know how to deal with it. It's an awful feeling. But the Lord began to show me right here at this altar. He began to show me when I began to minister to groups of people, not just one at a time, but when I began to minister to numbers of folks together. And I would pray, say, in a healing service, for example, where we're praying for the sick, that I would pray for one person and that person would receive nothing. Just absolutely nothing would happen to them. No manifestation of the presence of God at all. I'd lay hands on the next one. Whew, the power of God began to flow. Whew, like then down into that person. Person receive their healing or receive their deliverance. And go to the next one. Boom, there's the power of God just flowing into that person. Person set free, heal, whatever it is they need. Go to the next one. And like laying your head on, like laying your hand on a fence post. I mean, just nothing. And they receive nothing. You go to the next one, nothing. Then you receive, and then the next one receives, and the next one doesn't. And the next one. And I think about that. I say, why, Lord? Why is that? Something didn't happen to me, right? You know, as I take one step to the right, that something changed in me. I was the same. The Word of God was the same. There's only a couple of seconds difference there. And as I began to think about that, the Lord began to show me some of these principles about the individual's responsibility to receive. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Now, that's not in the Bible. And the same thing is true in spiritual matters. You can lead a person to the living water, but you can't make him drink of it. I want you to know that there's more water flowing in this place tonight. I mean, if you'd get down in it, you could drown in it. There's more water in this place than all of you could drink for the rest of your life. I'm talking about the living water. There's enough water in this place to save the whole world, let alone the few of you that may be here tonight that are as yet unregenerated. I want you to know there's enough of the water of the Holy Ghost in this place to have you all talking in tongues forever. Forever. There's enough living water in this place to heal everybody from here to China and back. Now that's the way it is. Now I can say to you tonight, I didn't do it for this purpose, but I want to say to you, look at my hands. They're clean, no blood on them. Because I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole gospel of God. I have spoken to you everything I know. Not everything tonight, please don't think that. But over a period of time, you understand. Jesus said, forgive me for that. Jesus said in John's Gospel, the 15th chapter and the 15th verse, he said, all that the Father hath shown me, I have declared unto you. Everything I know, Jesus said, I've told you. Paul said, everything I know, I've told you. And I'm saying to you tonight, everything I know, I've told you. You say it in different ways, you know. Put chocolate syrup on it one night and strawberries the next, you know, but it's the same truth. It's the same truth. And I've had many times to commend different individuals unto God. I know sometimes some of you may think, that pastor, he's really cold-hearted. He just doesn't care about me anymore. Used to be, you know, he really cared about me. He really cared about me. He used to pet me every day. But he hadn't pet me in such a long time. Maybe I've commended you to God. Maybe I've turned loose. and commend you to God and the word of his grace that's living in you. There's a time to let go. There's a time to release. There's a time to let go and let God do it. Get out of the way. I've had to learn how to do it. I just keep preaching the word. Just keep preaching the word. And if you want to hear the word, you come here and sit, and you'll hear the word. It may seem like a long time, but I want you to know from the time I open my mouth until the time I close it, you're going to hear the word of God. I don't know anything else. I just don't. And I don't want to. Because I know that it's the word of God that will build us up, and it's the word of God that will give us the inheritance, and nothing else will work. I want with all my heart. I tell you, I would do anything. I would do anything to get a person saved. I would do anything to get them filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd do anything to get them healed. I'd do anything to get them out from under the oppression of the devil. But there's one thing I can't do, and that is do it for them, and neither can you. So walk in the liberty God's given us, and do not let the enemy bring guilt or condemnation upon you because you don't think that your ministry is effectual. You can't get everybody to receive the truth any more than Jesus could, any more than Paul could. It's not going to work that way. Your responsibility is to do what God commanded Ezekiel, speak the word, whether they hear or forbear. Some are going to say, oh, what does this mean? They're just going to receive it. They're going to take a long, deep drink, and you're going to be thrilled. And God will see to it that you have a few of those along the way to keep you going. But you're going to find some of those, too, that are just not going to have anything to do with what you're saying. Unfortunately, some of those folks are the ones that are closest to us. That's what hurts the most. That's when you really have to do Acts 20, 32, and that is commend that person to the Lord. Let go. Release, let go, and commend them to the Lord, the word of his grace. Continue to believe and trust God, and just go on about your business. Paul said, I'm going to leave you here at Ephesus. I commend you to God. I can't do anything else for you. I'm going on to Jerusalem. I have something else to do. There's a time to let go. Let's pray. Father, we know that you're not going to allow us to let go too soon. Because your spirit lives in us, and we live in Christ, and it's in him that we live and move and have our being. Our very life is in Jesus. And we see, Father, out of the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, how when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord Jesus spoke to him and told him what to do. And the scripture says that Jesus looked upon him and loved him as he was expressing and giving the word of God, that he spoke it with compassion. But that young man had gold as his God, and he hung his head in sorrow and turned and walked away. And I know how our Lord's heart must have broken to see that happen. But he let him walk. It's so hard for us, Father, to let anybody go. But we see that as we learn how to trust you, that as we learn that none of us are a one-man band, that you've got your servants everywhere, and that you've got ways to reach people that we never even thought of. When we learn how to just trust you and rest in you, and minister to that new person that you're showing us, and instead of spending all of our time with that neighbor on our right that we've been trying for 5 years to win to Christ, and she just won't listen, We spend all of our time there and forget that this new lady that just moved in on the other side is crying inside her heart. Is wanting help. We're so busy trying to make that old dry horse drink that we're not even paying attention to this one over here that's thirsty. Help us, Father, to be more ready to release these people to you. Having done all we know how to do, we stand in faith for on their behalf, but commend them to you, and we move on to other ministry. Help us to see these situations as you do, Father. And when the enemy catches at our door, in his attempt to bring condemnation and guilt upon us and make us feel small and insignificant and ineffective, I pray, Father, that this scripture will rise up in each of our spirits, that we'll realize that there is no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. Who is he that condemneth? It's God that justifieth. God, you said we're all right. You said we're able ministers of the Word of God. We'll not listen to anything else. You said that if we've studied, and we have, Lord, that we would be able to rightly divide the Word of truth, that we would be a workman that had no need to be ashamed. We reject that kind of condemnation. We reject that kind of shame. We reject that kind of guilt in the name of Jesus, and we receive peace in our spirits. For we know of a surety that it's God Almighty by the Holy Ghost that worketh in us to will and to do of his own good pleasure. And as long as we have spoken the word, Father, we have a right to say, my hands are pure from the blood of all men. And Father, if we have not been courageous to speak your word, we ask your forgiveness for that. And promise to you, Lord, to be faithful to declare the whole counsel of God, regardless of how people respond. For we know that that's our calling. We remember how Jesus said, ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. We see that that's our calling, each and every one of us. No matter whether we be young or old, whether we be pastor or lay, we have that responsibility, and that is the reason that your Spirit has energized us. Not just to give us Holy Ghost bumps, not just to give us a 24-hour blessing a day, but in addition to that, to equip us to witness for Jesus, to share this wonderful truth with every person who will listen. Use us, Father, to that end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.